Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Magi Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay. And with us today, to celebrate the Kawarthas, we have Mary Lee Boston from the Fenland Falls and District Chamber of Commerce. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Friend of the show, you often will point out our Fenland Falls shout-outs, which is much appreciated. So we thought we'd have you come for a whole episode.
Oh, well, I appreciate being here, and I appreciate that your podcast helps me learn about what's going on, because I am only one person, and it's always exciting, the new businesses that are here, whether they're in Fenland or just in Kawartha Lakes in general. So I know I've like seen you out in public and been like, Ryan, the last episode was so great.
Awesome. I love that. If you see me in public and you're listening, please run up and tell me how great the podcast is. It's always appreciated.
Well, and then it's good to like see you out in Fenland, right, at the Grove Theater or wherever I run into you. So, yeah, it's good to be here. We can chat Fenland and all the exciting things that are going on.
Yeah, let's hit that up. Tell us about all the exciting things in Fenland.
Well, as we were chatting about before we started, Santa Day's coming on Saturday, and that's been going on for decades, and so many volunteer hours. It takes them an entire year to plan it because the details are so important to them, of having a fantastic event and showcasing Fenland. But really, it's a community thing with all the volunteers, the businesses, and hopefully there'll be like a touch of snow this year, so it's like warm but like festive and beautiful now that we have all our holiday decor on downtown and the bridge.
I didn't grow up here, so I'm new to Santa Day. I think I've been two times. It's an incredible event. It's one of the biggest event undertakings I may have ever seen outside of Toronto. A lot of people will do like the downtown shopping, downtown sleigh rides, maybe a parade, maybe fireworks, but like they pick one. Why is Santa Day so big? Like there's so many things going on. I don't think people, like if you've never been to Santa Day, you don't understand the scope of it. You're like, oh, it's probably like a couple shops are open later and Santa's there and that's the end of it. But like last year we walked around and it was for a couple hours at different businesses, and not just walking in and shopping, but different events and stations, like gingerbread cookies and popcorn. And like, that's only two. I did a sleigh ride too, I think, like a horse-drawn carriage ride all throughout the downtown. It was amazing. I love it. And it's just incredible. So how did Santa Day become what it is now?
That's a great question, and I don't know that I know the answer, because I'm only 5.5 years into living here as well. And Santa Day has always been like what you explained. It's not just activities all day. It's like, oh, then we should have a parade. And it's a lighted nighttime parade.
Yes.
We close down the main street in Fenland, which is the only way through town.
Yeah.
And everyone still loves that.
Yes.
So we close the road. And then let's finish off the night with fireworks. Right? And so I give kudos to the people who've been on the committee for a really long time for really dreaming big and saying, yeah, we can do it all. And the community supports them in doing that.
Yeah, the bit of the history, it started, I think they were one of the first towns that started switching to night parades. It was kind of a very late 90s thing where I think suddenly it was easier to get lights and generators to do nighttime parades. And there was a group of people who kind of founded and started it, and then it grew to be just like added another thing and another thing. And then I believe the fireworks started, I think I was on the chamber that year, and in Canada Day they got canceled, and then the rain date got canceled. Mm-hmm. So they said, well, let's do them on Santa Day, because they had already paid for them, and or something like that. And then they added them, and then everyone loved it. So now there's also fireworks on Santa Day. But at one point, believe it or not, it was bigger than it is now. And it was almost too big that they had to like just scale it back a bit because more isn't always better.
What did they have going on in addition to what they do now?
There was like just more petting zoos at the arena. There was like a huge show. The school also had like a like a Spirit of Christmas fundraiser show. So you could go to like multiple indoor things plus like just outdoor things. At one point, there was a proposal for like midway rides on the island. And I just remember hearing some of the pushback was like, you know, we can't have a merry-go-round on the island without like fencing to like the open water that's like right there in the middle of winter.
In a snowstorm.
In the snowstorm. So it was ambitious. There's always been a really engaged group of volunteers. Mm-hmm. A bunch of them are the same volunteers for many years. And yeah, they pull off a great day.
Yeah, and my favorite part is the fireworks. Like, you don't have to stay up till 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
They're at, I think, around 6 when the parade is over. Yeah. So you watch the fireworks, and then people go for dinner. And when the local restaurant owners was telling me that she has a downstairs part, and a family of 40 has booked it for Santa Day. And I'm assuming it's after the fireworks, and they're just going to continue celebrating their day together. So
yeah, I used to work at Bank of Montreal downtown for first part of my career, and we would always give out hot chocolate, and then if it was really cold we would stand inside, but then the staff and their families used to book out like pre-book places to go for dinner right after, and it was always full, and there's like lots of people have traditions like that, which is just really cool.
Yeah, as an attendee, it's always so amazing to go to, and you'll probably laugh, but to me, it's always so smooth. The event just goes off without a hitch. I go to all the fun events, I wait a couple minutes, the parade starts. Soon as the parade ends, the fireworks are going. It's great. So kudos to you and everybody involved, and I hope it never stops. So
I think it will keep going. It is beloved and is just part of the calendar of the things that people love about Fenland Falls and why they come. Cottagers come home that weekend and bring their family, and same as they do for some of the other summer activities and different things. It's like, it's kind of like a touch point on the calendar of like, we're going to get together.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. What else is on that calendar?
Oh, well, as we look to next year, the Country Living Show is, oh goodness, we're going to be in our 38th year, I think. And so that is one of the biggest revenue sources for the Chamber, is putting together a three-day trade show at the arena. And it's one of the best ways that we have to support our businesses who aren't brick and mortar downtown. It's easy to support those businesses with shopping promotions, See It Today, all those kinds of things. But with the trade show, we're kind of bringing all the industries together under one roof. And I love it because I grew up in a small town, and I love going to events where I can see people that I know, right? And maybe you don't see them very often. And so just all those community connection points, it's great to see them. Especially a three-day event. Sometimes people come back, and it's fantastic. I hope it seems also that it has no hitches, as every event planner does, is you're like, what is it, a doctor?
I just had some weird internal stress happen, some faint memories of Country Living Show's past. So that's your issue now. But
yeah.
Events are hard. They're terrible to organize and run. So I'm not, I don't know what I'm trying to say other than like, it's tough. Events are hard.
They are hard. And I think people who just attend events, and those are the people that call the chamber and be like, hey, why don't you do this event? Why don't you do this event? It's like, well, because the chamber has one paid employee full time year round, and then has a lot of really hardworking volunteers. So our capacity is limited. And so there are a million great ideas, but we got to focus our resources on the things that sometimes are tried and tested, or that brings value to using our resources. So, yeah.
I remember a couple winters ago, I was still on the Lindsay Downtown BIA, part of the marketing committee. I think it was head of the marketing committee or whatever you call that title. And it was right after COVID, or we're still in COVID type of thing. And some things were popping back up, like Santa Day and Mingle and Jingle up in Bob Cajun. And we had made the decision months before not to do anything, still because of COVID. Maybe that was an excuse. Anyways, and then one of the business owners, it might have been after Santa Day, which makes this comment even funnier, but it was like the weekend after Santa Day, like sent a note to somebody on the BIA and was like, why isn't Lindsay doing something like Santa Day? And I was like, A, that's hilarious. Second of all, that person I've never seen in a meeting. They're more than welcome to attend, bring that up and head that committee and roll it out. You don't need to comment on it. But like I just understand how intense these BIAs can be in the chambers, and you get a lot of ideas, but then the engagement is so difficult to get from people.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard when the president of the chamber is the big idea person. And so it's always like, okay, what can we actually execute of your 300 and generally really fantastic ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just great to have those. I remember I still have a shared document with someone from Finland called the Somebody Should Group, which is like a running total of all these ideas that somebody should do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a million like business ideas, things the chamber should do, and you can't do all of them. So it's impressive to me what happens, you know, especially the Finland Chamber. I'm kind of extra proud of that and extra grateful having seen behind the scenes and just every initiative. It's a team of volunteers who really has to do it. And there's only so many business owners who mm-hmm. benefit. So you kind of have to be the one who also mm-hmm. does the thing that you want to do. So it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like at the Finland Chamber, we, like I said, I'm the one full-time employee, and then we have 11 directors right now.
Oh,
all of them have portfolios. And, you know, some are more labor intensive, some are kind of, you know, the portfolios for the Country Living Show. That's kind of a season of time that they're really heavily committed to that. But the amount that they're able to do, they're all business owners. Some of them have young kids, you know, and they have a life
mm-hmm.
Or they try to have a life on top of all the volunteer work that they do for the chamber. So it's fantastic. And that's just a small representation then of the business owners who aren't on the chamber board and are doing things in other volunteer organizations. So yeah, Finland amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are always going on, the new businesses that are popping up, the events that people are organizing, the charities that they support, like there's a real collaboration. And I think that's the only way we can get things done is we all have limited resources, so let's pool them. Let's pool our marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's cross promote. Let's lift each other up.
Yeah.
And then we all benefit from that.
So many people say that and want that, but I've never seen a community do that like Finland Falls and the business owners there. And it's the gold standard to me. And there's not hundreds of businesses like there are in Lindsay. There's a fraction of that number, but it seems like you're able to achieve so much up there and do so many amazing, cool things.
Yeah, I would agree. There's just so much going on from what the Hort Society is doing with all the gardens that they take care of, and the arts committee that got these beautiful sculptures in the rain garden. And those are just a couple projects. And, you know, the museum is just taken off with changing from a place where old things and artifacts are to this, like kids entertainment expo and then they continue that in the fall with a couple weekend activities, and they participate in Santa Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so as each group and business is doing their thing, it just, especially for things like Santa Day, when everyone's doing something, it makes it this really big event, as opposed to, you know, four or five volunteers trying to put on a extravaganza. Like that's just financially and volunteer resource impossible.
Yeah. Is it, so you think it's like business engagement that makes you so successful? And how long has that been going on? Was it like that before you came, or you came in and saved the day, or was it, like, all kidding aside, how long has it been like this?
I'm going to defer to Brian, because I don't know how it was before
I
started.
So Fenland has always been curious to me because it's very engaged for the good and the bad in some ways. Fenland Falls is an interesting town. If you have a public meeting in Fenland Falls, there was one last week, I hear 800 people came because it was five 500 chairs were set up and they were all full apparently. Again, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but you're going to get a, you know, I remember a counselor saying you do a public meeting in Lindsay like that and you might get 10 people.
Yeah.
In Fenland, you have to rent out the biggest hall that's there. The chamber, you know, when I came to town, it was, I think there was only three or four directors. It was the same people, but there was engaged events, but it was very old boys club. But it was an engaged old boys club who were very passionate about the community. Now, like, I was going to jokingly ask, but not really joking, like, what's the secret to having the best run chamber that I've ever seen? Because, you know, some of my work, you come across different chambers and they all have some of the same kind of issues and problems and challenges. Yet Fenland Falls is figuring it out and is the envy of directors.
Oh, it should
everywhere.
Be
everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it is. There's something about the town that attracts people who want to be engaged in the community. It's busy enough that you can run a decent business there. It's not too busy that it's really easy and you can be an absentee business owner. So you kind of you go there for the lifestyle and you set up a thriving business, which is exactly kind of the types of conversations we want to have with this podcast.
And I think it's that turnover, like we have bylaws and, you know, terms that our directors can have on the board. And so it's in, so like I've said, it's been about 5.5 years, in Fenland and a little bit less at the chamber. And as the board keeps changing, then each person brings something new to it, right? So it's not stagnant. Now the board is 9 women and 2 men.
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge change
from
the past. And not that the past was bad, but this is just, it reflects who the business owners are in the community. And so as we've had new presidents, I always, it's an adjustment, you know, I get working with a president, understand how they want to do business and their personality, and then they finish their term, they move on to their next great thing, and I get a new president, and I get to know them, and what's their passion for their time as president, and what projects do they want to lead, and how do they want to do it, so... It's I'm always sad to see them go. I feel like I've lost a friend, even though they're still in the community. We don't get to spend nearly as much time together as we do when people are on the board and we're working together closely.
I love what you said. Just it's really nice because a lot of organizations have trouble attracting board members. Sometimes you burn out who the president is, or they're the same one for years and years and years, and it just kind of changes back and forth. And the dramatic change in Fenland of, I think about when I started and it was like a bunch of retired men who it wasn't reflective of the business owners. And I remember one particular hiring committee kind of meeting where we were like, we have to intentionally go find some people who actually own businesses in this town, to now having that large group of people who can rotate and you can come in as president for, you know, a few years, move it forward a bit and then rotate out and someone else comes up. Like that's kind of the key to, you know, keeping that momentum. And, you know, you're never coming, you never need someone to come save the day, right? You're just kind of moving the ball a bit forward, which is really cool.
And everyone has different strengths. And so it's been interesting as their strengths and the timing of kind of different things that are happening in the community and different projects that we're overseeing or the things that the city is doing and how we're working with the city. And sometimes we meet someone who's, you know, strong and can, I've learned so much in this job. I came from a criminal justice background. And so this
oh, really?
Is, yes, 18 years as a deputy clerk. So I'm very happy to have happy customers.
Yeah.
At the tourism office. But so this year, our president and I, we did a deputation at council. And so I learned a lot about how does municipal government work? How do citizens and businesses, like, how do we participate in that? And so our current president, Shannon, you know, she's well-spoken and, you know, we were able to do that together. It was still very nerve-wracking, but we did it together and really, it was fantastic to hear the other deputations and hear what people are talking about and see that people are passionate and engaged.
How did you end up with this job? Like, is that something you were actively looking for or like, how did it all come about?
So I moved here in February of 2018. My husband is born and raised in the area, and we're living out west, and came back to take over the family farm. And so I came here with no job, very limited connections. Basically, the only people I knew were family members and a few friends that he had introduced me to. And so, I spent from say March until June when I got hired, just doing the job search. And at that time, there weren't a lot of jobs around. Like I put out a lot of resumes and didn't hear back. And, Brian was on the chamber board at the time.
Say, some very strategic person who was spending some time going through a lot of applications.
Yeah.
Spotted one where we decided we needed to have a conversation with that person. And I will say that, you know, I don't often take credit for things, but I'm kind of unashamed now that I'll say one of my best volunteer things I ever did was hire Mary Lee at the chamber. And Fenland Falls is great and very active, and you're such a key person there that I have no problem taking some credit for that. You got the job, you earned it, but I got to make that decision.
Yeah.
With a group. There was a few of us, but.
But you were also really supportive as I was onboarding and trying to figure out what on earth I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I brought a lot of administrative skills to the job, but I also brought a lot of, I have no idea how it was done before.
And, you know, to be honest, like many organizations at the time, you know, I feel like I didn't maybe make a lot of friends, but there was a lot of old patchwork of how we used to do things and the old ways, and all of those people were gone, and we as a group we were under no obligation to do things the way they were done 20 years ago. So there was a lot of changes. So, you know, to your credit, you took the reins and did all of the things that kind of we had in the vision. And, you know, it was a lot of work and something that's really hard to do. And a lot of organizations or businesses don't get through that kind of transition.
And the great part about being new is you're just like, oh, I'm new. Oh, sorry, did I not do it how you anticipated that it's always been done? Oh, oops.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, sometimes that happened. And sometimes I, you know, 3 years in the job, I'm like, oh, I knew, I didn't know. But, you know, so many new ideas, like the board brought right when I got hired was the Tourism Ambassador Program. I had just started in June. Summer season was basically starting. And it's like, hey, we should hire a couple students and they should walk around town and talk to people. And it was, they didn't have uniforms. They didn't have much. They were our formal summer student. She just was a couple people that she knew, and they thankfully took on the job and did a great job. But now we just finished our sixth Tourism Ambassador program.
That's awesome.
And it's amazing. And I love having the students in the office because they bring the energy that you get tired, right, of the day in, day out, the admin, the problems and all that. And then they come and they're so fresh and they're so excited and they love Fenland.
Yeah.
And they make TikTok videos. I do not.
They make some really good ones. A few years ago, whoever was there, I was like, these are great, because I was seeing a lot of TikTok stuff. And between them and the museum, they were making some good ones too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it shows you on your algorithms other similar towns and museum ones. And, you know, these ones were as good as any. Like, they did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. And I just love when they get excited about their community, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they will move away because they need to get some education, but maybe they'll come back
mm-hmm.
and they'll be just as excited about their community. And maybe they'll be so excited they want to be on a volunteer committee
mm-hmm.
and they want to put back into the community. So it's always sad for me. I feel like I'm losing my kids. I don't have any kids, but for 4 months or 2 months, they're kind of my kids. And,
yeah.
and then they move on and they go off. And so now some of the summer students, you know, they've finished university. One's a lawyer now. Like they've moved on into their careers. And I'm so proud of them.
That's awesome. That's just, to me, part of the community, and it's part of, you know, running something like that. And when you do kind of a good job and have good board members and you're not kind of fighting or putting up, you know, dealing with friction, you can create all of these great, wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people now look for the blue t-shirts, right? We have created a little brand around them, and this year we got them some really fun bucket hats that are blue and green that my neighbor sewed for them. And so we're like always adding to their branded clothing so people can find them.
I think it makes a big difference, and I, you know, you're never sure if it's correlation or causation, but just how busy the beach park is and being around is dramatically different now than it was, you know, the first summer. You were there, and you know, I've spent many of Saturday afternoon walking through the park, and it's always, you know, there was times where you go through on a Saturday afternoon and there'd be a few people there, but now it's like busy almost all the time, and you see the tourism ambassadors out and engaging people, and I just think they come back because they explore a bit more. And when you take a chance to walk up the street or you see some different things, often you think, oh, we'll have to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do. And now you're just seeing the result of lots of people coming back.
And like, I think it was one of the first things that you and I ever did on the job is we went to the beach for the opening of the splash pad.
Oh, yes.
Right? And so that was a project. Now,
The Rotary Club and like the Power Links Committee.
Yeah, so local communities, volunteer groups. That was like a passion project and got that splash pad built. And then the bike share, I think that was maybe the next summer. And so to your point of like the beach is busy and the rail trail is busy, it's because we keep adding these pieces in so that people can explore and they can stay longer. And now I see people riding their bike to the Grove Theater. The boaters are. And the Kartha Arts Festival is September long weekend. And I saw someone come back on a bike with this metal sculpture on their shoulder.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm glad they made it here safely. But, you know, so all of those things, and it just goes back to collaboration, right? If we relied on the city solely to do something or the chamber solely to do something, these things wouldn't happen. But when the community organizations come together and this one does a project and this one, then also here we are.
Yeah, it's so cool. What's next? What are all the secret Fenland Falls projects happening?
Oh, well, we have started the Fenland Forward group is back together again. And really what that is a group of community leaders from different places or different spaces in the community coming together, and we're doing downtown revitalization 2.0. So downtown revitalization 1.0 was a 5-year project.
Mm-hmm.
And so now as we're post COVID, as the community has changed, and before we were planning on being a quiet retirement town and COVID changed everything. Now our biggest demographic or our fastest growing demographic is kids 0 to 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so it just, from a downtown perspective, it's like, now we're looking at, we need stores that sell kids clothes and diapers. And, you know, people are always asking for amenities like for their kids.
Yeah.
A skate park. is the newest, biggest request, right? And so Fennel Board is just, we're working through, we're going to be doing a survey with residents and a business survey, and we're working with the city and partnering with them through this process. And so it's like, okay, what are the next things that we want to work towards? And then what funding will we need? Who will we need to partner with? So that's one of the biggest things.
That's amazing. I sounded like a big idiot before this podcast started, because people that weren't here, I asked if you worked at the chamber there, because in all seriousness, I was not used to such good branding from a chamber. I was not used to engaged members on a chamber. I was not used to so many amazing things happening from a chamber that I was like, it must be some other organization. Like literally, like, this is how my brain was working. There's no way this is actually a chamber. It's some other organization that like a bunch of people have gotten together and they've hired me earlier or whatever. That's literally why I did not know 29 minutes ago or whatever. This was a chamber.
Our chamber is a success.
Oh, like, and it's amazing. Like there's, it sounds like I'm just full of baloney, but like, there's no better place to be in the summer than Fenland Falls. Like it's the, my kids are 6 and 8. We love going there. The park, the waterfront, the splash pad, the slices and scoops, like all the stuff that's long, the locks and everything. It's just an amazing place to be, especially in the summer when it's, I know people might not like if it's busy, but like it's lively. It's just like the best place to be in the summer. And I love it. It's just, it's so lively. Brian and I went there a couple summers ago on a Friday night, ate pizza. I illegally drank a beer on a picnic table that you guys probably supplied. And it was just lively down there. And it was like,
there was some like older ladies who were really funny at the picnic table next to us, because they had all met. They were all an hour away and they met in Fenland. This was when kind of pandemic, everything was opening up again. They were like playing euchre and they were chirping us, eating our pizza. It was like the greatest.
It was so much. It was like, I'm content in my home and I'm going to live there forever with my wife and kids. We said like, if we ever like decide to move somewhere, it would be Fenland, because it's still like small town sort of feel, comfortable. Everybody knows you, cottage country, but there's a lot going on and it's lively and vibrant and people are excited to be there. And I love Fenland Falls. So
I really appreciate you talking about the branding. Mm-hmm. I believe you started mid that process.
Yes.
We were just redoing that and the website. And I feel like I lost some friends, maybe. There's a lot of friction. Anytime you go through a big project like that, it's not easy. And we, you know, shout out to Barton Creative who helped us through that. But that was a big push that I had. And to be honest, like, again, I don't always take credit for some of the things, but whenever I see that branding and I see people around, I'm just always like proud of that, because I was like, it was worth the friction. It was worth, you know, there's a bunch of things Fenland related where it's like, I turned out to be right and I'm very happy. And it reminds you that it's worth, you know, sometimes you gotta break some eggs to make an omelet or push through on some things, but it's just so cool to watch it all come together.
Yeah, and the rebrands, it's just been the launch point for like so many of the other things that we've done. You know, and then Tim did some rebranding at the Country Living Show and freshened that up, right? And we just, and working with Barton Creative, they were just a newer business and just starting out, right? And so what a cool way to partner with a really local business as they were launching and we're just trying to rebrand and get a fresh look. And yeah, it still is a good partnership.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just so cool. And you know, it carried forward some, I think, things that had happened, you know, some committees in the past, but it takes that work to do that, and it's just amazing to create a place that's so cool.
Yeah.
And one of the other projects that was just started when I started was the tourism map of downtown Fenland Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that, yes. I was like, okay, I will take on this project. It was lagging, and it was one of those projects where in the middle of it, you're like, why? why did I say yes? This will never come to fruition. But it eventually did. And we just did version 3.0. And we printed 1,000 copies, which should hopefully have gotten us generally from one, generally from one summer to the next. In 2.5 months, they were all gone. Yeah. I just had to do a reprint. And we've expanded, and now the map includes the other side of the bridge because now the Grove exists. And we wanted to point out that there are tennis courts in town and, you know, all sorts of things. So
the other side of the bridge, people.
Oh, you want to open up a can of worms.
That's next episode.
That's yeah.
How has the Grove changed, Fenland, do you think?
Oh, it has just opened up a whole new, just broadened the arts and culture. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's like in town and people don't even know that it's there. And so that we get to say, did you know? And I love explaining how it's so beautiful.
Oh,
and
it's the best venue.
And I keep saying when the lights go down, but really when the sun goes down and the lights come up, just, it doesn't matter what type of show or performance you're at. It's just fantastic. And so I think it's created, added something to the portfolio of making Fenland a destination.
Yeah.
I certainly have gone to performances of things that I wouldn't typically go to. My husband and I have a farm on the side. Summer's really busy. But to support the Grove, sometimes I just volunteer just because I want to be there, right, and participate in it. And now as they launch in the summer day camps next summer, the potential is endless of what the Grove can bring to Fenland and to Kortha Lakes and in the area. As far as, you know, like I said, people are looking for things for their kids to do. Not every kid wants to play sports.
Yeah.
Right? So for kids who are into arts and drama and all those things, this hopefully will be that place, and these camps will continue from year to year and continue to grow.
Yeah. I felt guilty, I guess, for the first two summers that it was open. Is this the third summer or the second summer?
The third.
Okay, the first two summers I never went, felt guilty, finally made it out. The show had, I don't think I got to my seat before I would turn to my wife and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I can't believe we've never been here. And I was immediately ready to come back. Like, I don't care what it is. I'm happy to go there again and again. My wife turned around and went that 2 days later. And it was like, well, I got to go back there. It was just incredible. And like you said, the sun was just going down. Like, I don't even care what the show was. It was, now I'm like, well, as soon as I know what's happening next year, I'm going to make an effort to be as humanly possible. It's just such a cool, transformative experience. Because like, it doesn't feel like it's in Fenland Falls or Kortha Lakes. It's just, you're just immersed in the environment, and it's just incredible. So,
and that the Grove just started from a group of people sitting around a table, perhaps drinking too much wine, and just brainstorming of like, what do we want in our community?
Yeah.
And they didn't just stop at, wouldn't it be great? They have poured their lives into making it happen, right? And will continue to do so because they're going to need to keep fundraising or the life of the Grove.
Yeah, it's what you really need. You need people willing to, you know, you can't just give ideas. Like I always tell my students, like no one's paying you for your ideas alone. Like you have to do it, right? I was on the chamber and I remember you'd get emails or people want to have meetings about projects, but sometimes it was, here's a project that you should do.
Yeah.
And everyone shows up with their own projects that they kind of want to do, so they're not looking to just execute someone else's. So you need those people willing to step up and put in their sweat and tears.
Yeah, if I remember the story correctly from what Tim told me, it was a lot of wine on a dock, and I think they applied for grants that night and then woke up the next day and were like, oh, did we just do that? So
yeah, and I had a thought there and I've lost it. But anyway, maybe it will come back to me.
It's been a great, positive Fenland Falls conversation.
Yeah, everyone should explore Fenland Falls. Is that the tagline?
Yes.
Yes, all right.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
If you are a business around. Can I apply to be part of the Fenland Falls Chamber as a Lindsay business?
You sure can.
Yeah?
It's
how do I do
Falls
that?
And district.
Okay. Yes. And we don't ever want to poach members from other chambers because they're really important. And there's the Cobequonk Norland and Area Chamber, there's the Lindsay and District Chamber, and there's the Bob Cajun and Area Chamber. And we work really closely with them. I rely on them as my mental health support because we all work alone.
Sure.
And it can be a tough job. But to answer your question, yes, if you just wanted to join the Fenland Chamber, explorefenlandfalls.com online, just click on business and you'll see where you can fill out the online membership form and you can pay online. That's pretty straightforward. So, yeah.
There's a benefit to being members of multiple chambers.
Oh, for sure.
Locally. I know there's some businesses who just pick one, but I don't know. I think you can be part of a couple of them if you want to.
Why would you not be a part of the Fenland one? If, like we just talked about, it's the most engaged one I've ever experienced or seen, at least as an outsider, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're having bingo night on December 2nd.
Oh.
It's like a member
and is this
and
the
community.
AGM
It's
again?
Not our AGM, but because the AGM was so successful with bingo night, we've just made bingo night its own thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the AGM, we're looking at some different type of entertainment than playing bingo. So
the AGM used to be a big deal, and then it fizzled for a bit. And then actually one of my favorite nights ever was like the AGM in a snowstorm above Sweet Bottoms back when Trish had the Kawartha Winery and brought wine. And it was just a great, like, I love a snowstorm in downtown Fenland night. It's always like my favorite.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, last year, a whole bunch of people were like, oh, are you going to bingo at the Legion for the AGM? Like outside, I was just amazed that so many people were engaged and like young people. Like the AGM used to be all the retired business people who wanted to still have an ear on the business community. And then none of the business owners came. And now it's like a different thing.
There are a lot of young business owners in Fenland Falls, right?
Like the average age on the board is probably mid, late 30s, probably.
It's outstanding to me. Like, I get actually goosebumps thinking about it because I remember, like, kind of just arguing about who we should be kind of making them join the board because they were women business owners in the town. And I was like, they should be the people on the board, not the retired guy who used to do something somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, that's awesome to have so many people and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered my thought from earlier. It's a bit of an aside, but so I grew up in a small town in Saskatchewan, so very like agriculture focused. And so Fenland is a small town. It has agriculture. But what's really cool, and this isn't unique to Fenland, but is that there's so many people that move here from the city or just other places. And, you know, they've either owned a multinational corporation or a national corporation, or they've worked in these high-level places. And so they bring this amazing skill set to Fenland. And then I get to sit on committees with these people. And I often feel like I just need to sit and just listen because their skills and their knowledge and their experience are just – not every community gets to have
that. That reminds
kind of
me.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll shout out to Chris Appleton, who is a tenacious former lawyer who makes a lot happen. And if you ever want a story about how hard it is to get a sign that costs $200 put up on Parks Canada land to indicate where the falls are in Fenland, you are in for a treat. We should have a whole other podcast maybe about that.
I would love that.
It takes so much expertise just to make things like that happen. And that's kind of the magic of Fenland. Like if you were to kind of bottle it into one story, is you have all of these just great people who move there, love the town, want to put their skills to use.
Mm-hmm.
And they just make all these things happen that seem so simple, but are really so hard
and
nuanced that if you didn't have the desire to do it, you would just
give up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to ask, but maybe we will save that for another podcast. I do want to know that whole story.
Yeah, it's interesting. We can do a whole story on like how to get those things done.
Yeah.
I remember once giving up on wanting to get a bike rack.
You've told me a bit about the bike rack.
Where I was like, I was going to just pay for it myself. I was like, can I please just write a check for this? At the time, they were talking about a special kind of bike rack that took up a parking space back when we had the straight parking, and it was like $800 or something. And I was like, I will just write the check. Can we make it happen? And it could not happen because of so many regulation and things. And I was like, I can't go to 800 meetings. I just want to write a check and someone can come and install this. But it's really hard to get things done. So kudos to everyone in Fenland for doing that.
We should do a whole series on that. The bike rack, the sign. I'm sure there's more, but we should do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what they want.
Give the people what I want. I want to hear these stories.
Well, the secret is you just find a Mary Lee resume in your stack of resumes and you just make a hire and then feel really cool about it for several years. Any final thoughts?
I put it, he's number one on my list, my little sticky note of things I want to talk about today, but is my husband, Philip. He is my number one volunteer. He helps he builds things for me. He helps make things happen. When we are short three volunteers, I call him up and I'm like, what are you doing this afternoon? And he's been so supportive. This is an interesting job. It can be a really hard job sometimes. And, he's been super supportive, even though I go to a lot of meetings and he has to like cook his own dinner and take care of himself a lot and manage things on the farm without me because I get a lot of meetings.
Yeah.
So shout out to him.
Thanks, Philip.
Awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much for being such a fan of the show and for telling us how great we are when you see me in public and for just being part of such an awesome community. If you'd like to be on the podcast, we would love to have you. You can send us an email to set that up at setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.